Today is Tuesday, May 19th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Steve Miller in Washington. The World Health Organization says an investigation into the coronavirus will take place as soon as possible, but warns.
Countries that move too fast run a real risk of handicapping their own recovery.
Plus, reaction to the economic plan by France and Germany.
People are cautiously optimistic, but they know it's a long way forward.
And a new dinosaur? We'll have those stories and more next. With nearly 5 million cases of COVID-19 around the world, the head of the World Health Organization said on Monday that an independent evaluation of the global coronavirus response would be launched as soon as possible, and China backed such a review. Reuters' Emer McCarthy starts us off.
The WHO will conduct an independent evaluation of the global coronavirus response, and it will be launched as soon as possible. That's what was promised by Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus during a virtual meeting of the WHO's decision-making body, the World Health Assembly, on Monday. He added that the organisation is committed to transparency, accountability, and continuous improvement. US President Donald Trump has fiercely questioned the WHO's performance during the pandemic and led international criticism of China's handling of the early stages of the crisis. The review was on Monday seemingly supported by Chinese President Xi Jinping, who had previously opposed calls for a review of the origin and spread of the coronavirus.
China supports the idea of a comprehensive review of the global response to COVID-19 after it is brought under control to collect experiences and address deficiencies.
Tedros has always promised a post-pandemic review and said it would come at the earliest appropriate moment, but warned of the dangers of returning to normal too quickly.
We urge countries to proceed with caution. Countries that move too fast without putting in place the public health architecture to detect and suppress transmission run a real risk of handicapping their own recovery.
A resolution drafted by the European Union called for an independent evaluation of the WHO's performance and appeared to have won backing among the health body's 194 states. The draft made no mention of China. A sense of solidarity was a theme among European participants, with French and German leaders using the virtual assembly to call for a united approach to fighting the virus. No country can solve this crisis alone. We have to act together, German Chancellor Angela Merkel told the meeting from Berlin.
That was Reuters reporter Emer McCarthy. U.S. President Donald Trump says his cuts to World Health Organization funding will go from temporary to permanent if the agency does not commit to major substantive improvements within the next 30 days. In a letter to WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, Trump offered a list of criticisms that he says support his complaints. The agency has shown an alarming lack of independence from the People's Republic of China during the coronavirus pandemic. Among his criticisms, Trump said the WHO made repeated claims about the virus that were grossly inaccurate or misleading, that the agency did not properly pressure China for timely admission of international experts, and that it praised China's internal travel restrictions while being against Trump's decision to ban entry to travelers from China. Trump repeatedly praised China in the early months of the outbreak, writing in late January that the United States greatly appreciates their efforts and transparency. And in late March, he tweeted, China has been through much and developed a strong understanding of the virus. We are working closely together. Much respect. But as criticism of his own response to the outbreak mounted, Trump became more vocal in pushing for an investigation of China's response and accusing the country of not doing enough to stop the spread of the virus early. U.S. federal authorities are urging extreme caution for reopening of nursing homes across the United States. AP correspondent Mike Gracia has more.
The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services is urging the nation's governors to go slow on deciding when to allow a resumption of visits at nursing homes. The guidance says nursing home visits should not resume before all residents and staff have tested negative for COVID-19 for at least 28 days. In an interview with the Associated Press, CMS Director Seema Verma said, "We're urging governors to proceed with extreme caution because these are the most vulnerable citizens." According to an AP count, outbreaks in nursing homes and long-term facilities have claimed more than 32,000 lives in the United States. That accounts for more than a third of all coronavirus deaths in the U.S. Mike Gracia, Washington.
The head of the European Union's Medicines Agency has said that an initial authorization for U.S. pharmaceutical company Gilead's remdesivir as a COVID-19 treatment could be granted in the coming days. Reuters reporter Joe Davies has more.
The European Union may give an initial green light in the coming days for the sale of the drug remdesivir as a COVID-19 treatment, fast-tracking the drug to market and the latest in a tight global competition for resources to fight the pandemic. It also comes after the United States angered the EU with its aggressive tactics in obtaining such resources. The US has yet to issue a similar approval for the drug. Guido Rossi is the head of the EU Medicines Agency.
Now there is an ongoing rolling review in the EMA and to support the CHMP decision. And it might be that a conditional market authorization can be issued in the coming days, subject to the data that we submitted and how the expert will deem those data robust enough to issue what I expect could be the conditional approval. I don't see for other kind of approval at this stage.
The European Medicines Agency, or EMA, has already recommended the compassionate use of remdesivir, which allows the drug to be administered to patients even before its sale has been authorized. Demand for remdesivir has been growing, as there are currently no approved treatments or vaccines for COVID-19. It's made by US pharmaceutical company Gilead. They are now negotiating long-term licenses with drug makers in India and Pakistan to produce remdesivir for developing countries. But it's unclear how soon sufficient amounts of the drug could be available to meet the world's need for a treatment.
That was Reuters' Joe Davies. AP Washington correspondent Sagar Magani reports President Trump is dismissing reports of potentially fatal side effects to using hydroxychloroquine for COVID-19 treatments.
After taking it for about a week and a half, the president says, "All I can tell you is, so far, I seem to be okay." Later adding, "I'm still here." Several prominent doctors worry the public may now infer the drug works or is safe.
That was AP's Sagar Magani. One of the pillars of the holy month of Ramadan is helping the needy. This Ramadan coincides with the COVID-19 pandemic, which has devastated economies. American Muslims responded generously to Islamic Relief USA's fundraising to provide humanitarian relief to needy families in the United States and abroad. Ramadan Charity has enabled Islamic Relief to expand its response to the COVID-19 pandemic. VOA's Mohammed El-Shanawi spoke with Sharif Ali, CEO of Islamic Relief, an international agency that offers humanitarian relief around the world.
Islamic Relief is part of a global response that is providing over $10 million in over 30 countries with food support, personal protective equipment, medical supplies and medicine, as well as financial assistance to those most vulnerable across the world. The challenge is global. And with that, the people who are already vulnerable before this pandemic are even more vulnerable today. They don't have the luxury of socially distancing themselves. They need to work to earn any food that they're trying to purchase. And Islamic Relief is at the front lines and continues its mission critical work to alleviate those challenges for millions around the world. Here in the United States, Islamic Relief has dedicated $3 million of resources and is working with close to 150 partners providing food support, financial assistance, hygiene kits, and personal protective equipment. We have local efforts taking place in communities across 92 cities and over 30 states. Additionally, we have a national partnership with Chef Jose Andreas, the World Central Kitchen, and the Chefs for America program, where we are working with them to provide 100,000 nutritious meals to vulnerable people across America. With them, we are also sustaining local small restaurants. They need about 200 meals a day to keep their operations open. This keeps people from losing their jobs at a time when job losses are increasing at an alarming rate. We have also partnered with Emana and Penny Appeal to provide over 50,000 KN95 masks to hospitals in New York, New Jersey, Chicago, Detroit, and Louisiana to assist frontline healthcare workers in the areas of the country hardest hit by COVID-19. Currently, we are still working to distribute food, including over 150,000 pounds of rice in over 20 locations across the country. We're providing personal protective equipment, financial assistance, and support for victims of domestic violence across the country. We hope to continue to work with our local partners and supporters to provide to the most vulnerable all across the United States and the world.
How generous were Muslim Americans in charity contributions this season?
It's really remarkable. Many of the charity organizations, including us, were concerned that the community would not be able to support us financially to continue to do the work that we do in the United States and abroad. But, in fact, the Muslim community has been more supportive than they have been in the past. We're really impressed with how remarkable and how supportive the Muslim community in America have been, and so many other communities as well that have been continuing to support the work Islamic Relief does.
Islamic Relief has been providing humanitarian assistance to over 40 countries serving communities in need. Does that mean Islamic communities only?
No, Islamic Relief operates, as you said, in over 40 countries across the world. We provide the relief and development in a dignified manner, regardless of gender, race, or religion. Islamic Relief is inspired by the Islamic faith, but it's providing its services for anyone who is in need. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or what background you have. But if you are in need or vulnerable, Islamic Relief will work to support you. Our services, including providing food aid, shelter, medical supplies and medicine, water, all of these interventions are provided to people in need, whether you're in Syria, Yemen, Bangladesh, Africa, many countries in Africa, in the United States, regardless of your religion, your race, or your gender.
What kind of development programs Islamic Relief provide to empower communities to emerge from poverty and become less vulnerable?
We have a multitude of different programs that build self-reliance and support the most vulnerable. I'll share two examples with you. One is a program that we have done in Bangladesh to support women-led households and vulnerable children who were living on less than a dollar a day. After being provided a financial stipend, an educational program, including vocational training and advocacy training, the families moved from having one source of income to four. Not only that, but they also were able to almost quadruple their daily income, where they are no longer reliant on Islamic Relief support. Also, about a year ago, I was in Tunisia, and I saw a program that Islamic Relief implements that provides financial support, business, and financial literacy training to assist cohorts of women to launch their own businesses. The work that we do not only helps people provide their sustenance and livelihoods, but it gives them the empowerment that they need to make a change and transform the lives of those around them. We call it a cycle of giving. Sometimes they may be recipients of aid from Islamic Relief, but now they are able to give back to other people in their communities.
Sharif Ali is the CEO of Islamic Relief. Ali was speaking to VOA's Mohammed Elshenawi. And coming up later,
remains of one of the last meat-eating dinosaurs to walk the earth, a type of so-called megaraptor.
This is VOA News.
This is Science in a Minute.
A number of studies have previously linked the consumption of sugary drinks with increased risks of death from a wide range of causes. A new study published in the Journal of the American Heart Association provides evidence that drinking around 355 milliliters of sugary drinks more than once a day is connected to a couple of factors that can contribute to cardiovascular disease. The study finds that among middle-aged to older adults, drinking sugar-sweetened beverages can lower levels of HDL or good cholesterol, which helps remove bad cholesterol from the bloodstream, while increasing levels of triglycerides, another type of fat found in the blood. The study also shows that drinking low-calorie sweetened beverages or up to 355 milliliters of 100% fruit juice every day wasn't associated with increased risks or adverse effects of elevated fats and cholesterol in the bloodstream. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
V. VOA's International Edition continues. I'm Steve Miller. The leaders of Germany and France agreed on Monday to a one-off $543 billion fund to help the European Union recover from the coronavirus pandemic. The proposal would add more cash to an arsenal of financial measures the bloc is readying to cope with the outbreak's economic fallout. Now, to learn more about the plan and the reaction throughout Europe, I spoke with Nicolas Pineau via WhatsApp in Paris, and I began our conversation by getting the details of the plan.
Well, it's a recovery fund that's going to be put up together. It's a huge step forward for the European bloc if this plan is signed by all the members. And basically what they really want to have is to try to move forward in the fight against this pandemic. So you have this fund that's going to be set up. And basically what's going to happen is that the EU Commission is going to be able to offer a bond on behalf of the 27 states to raise money for the different states. So that's something pretty big. That's the most important thing of this plan announced yesterday by the German Chancellor Angela Merkel and the French President Emmanuel Macron. On the other side, you have also ideas about leading the fight to find a vaccine. That's something so also that the European Union has to be leading the effort.
Now, you mentioned that this has to get support of all 27 members of the bloc before it goes into effect. And this is just a plan put forward by Germany and France. So how widespread is support likely for this plan?
Well, you know, it's still controversial. If you're positive, like French people are here, you will think that it's a huge improvement because basically, since the beginning, Germany and Angela Merkel, they've been pretty, pretty adamant that they're not going to raise any money on behalf of the 27 states. They don't want to have a mutualization of the debt, what the so-called coronavirus bond. So if you're optimistic, you will think that, hey, Germany has moved on the issue, so it's a great thing. But on the other side, it's the 27 member states who have to agree on the issue. And still, you have like the chancellor from Austria who said he still opposed the plan. You have the spokesperson for the Dutch prime minister, Mark Rutte, who said that first, the Commission should come up with a proposal before moving forward with this proposal. So obviously, you still have this disagreement.
Speaking of optimistic European people, what has been the reaction among the populace?
Well, you have the idea that it's very complicated to move forward and to have this agreement. So the population is still a little, you know, in the expectative of waiting for what's going to come up for the plan, and especially in countries such as Italy or Spain, who, you know, suffered a great loss during the pandemic. So people are cautiously optimistic, but they know it's a long way forward before getting a real deal, a real agreement between a 27 deal. And people, they're waiting for those discussions.
Nicolas Pineau is a journalist in Paris, France. The United States Supreme Court is allowing a bigger award of money to victims of the 1998 bombings by Al-Qaeda of the U.S. embassies in Nairobi, Kenya, and Dar es Salaam in Tanzania. Despite the court's ruling, it's unlikely the victims will ever collect the full amount. The nearly simultaneous truck bombings at the embassies killed 224 people and injured thousands. They were the first major attacks on U.S. targets by Al-Qaeda. The case the Supreme Court ruled in involves lawsuits filed by victims and their families against Sudan. They accused the country of causing the bombings and by aiding Al-Qaeda and leader Osama bin Laden, who lived in Sudan during the 1990s. Britain announced a new post-Brexit tariff plan to replace the European Union's external tariff, maintaining a 10% tariff on cars, but cutting levies on tens of billions of dollars of supply chain imports. After decades of following EU trade policy, Britain is seeking free trade agreements with countries around the world and aims to have deals in place covering 80% of British trade by 2022. The new tariffs begin January 2021. Millions of people are being evacuated from the coasts of Bangladesh and India as a strong cyclone plows across the Bay of Bengal. Amphan is expected to make landfall Wednesday morning, and forecasters warned of extensive damage from high winds, heavy rainfall, storm surge, and flooding in crowded cities like Kolkata. It currently has winds of 218 to 228 kilometers per hour, but is forecast to weaken before landfall. India's meteorological chief says this type of cyclone can be dangerous. The evacuation, however, is complicated by the needs to maintain social distancing to reduce the spread of COVID-19. Paleontologists in Argentina have unearthed the remains of one of the last carnivorous dinosaurs on the planet. Reuters reporter Carolyn Malone has the details.
Paleontologists in Argentina have discovered a 70-million-year-old treasure, remains of one of the last meat-eating dinosaurs to walk the earth, a type of so-called megaraptor. Fernando Novas is leading a team from the Argentine Museum of National Sciences and says the creature was around 10 meters long.
Its neck was lengthy. Its skull was low, thin, and long. It had teeth which were not too big, different from those of the Tyrannosaurus or the Giganotosaurus. These were small teeth. Nevertheless, its jaw was armed with these teeth that allowed him to tear into the skin of its prey. The most prominent thing was that their thumb ended in a claw, measuring approximately 40 centimeters in length.
A discovery of fossils was made in the southern province of Santa Cruz in March. After that, experts realized they were looking at the remains of a megaraptor, a predator from the end of the age of dinosaurs, slimmer and faster than the T-Rex, but just as deadly.
Carolyn Malone reports for Reuters News. The genetic mutation that causes Down syndrome increases the risk of intellectual disabilities and an early death from autoimmune diseases and pneumonia, but it also protects from some cancers, and it often leads to people valued for their kindness and joy. Recently, researchers discovered a major clue as to why the genetic disorder does these things. The mutation increases inflammation. Shelley Schlender explains how this knowledge may lead to healthier lives for those with Down syndrome.
You see, Megan and I together, we are up to something.
At the Linda Cernick Institute for Down Syndrome in Colorado, researcher Kate Waugh counts the many ways she adores her husband's brother, who has Down syndrome.
He always wants to marry my sisters. He really likes to color. He loves to sing. He brings a lot of joy.
People with Down syndrome have a lower risk for some cancers. As for why, Cernick Institute research shows that they have hyperactive immune systems.
Their immune cells are like Superman cells in some ways. They're revved up, ready to go like gangbusters compared to you and I.
But supercharged can also mean super out of balance, leading to disorders such as alopecia areata, a form of hair loss, and a stressed immune system can get exhausted. That's risky in seasons of flu or COVID-19.
People with Down syndrome are really predisposed to having severe pneumonia. My brother-in-law, who's in his mid-30s, that's actually the scariest part of the year.
The scientists want to reduce those risks.
The mission of the Cernick Institute is to improve the lives of all people with Down syndrome through biomedical research.
Institute Director Joaquin Espinosa has many buddies with Down syndrome. They include TV star Megan Baumgars from the Emmy-winning series Born This Way about Down syndrome.
He's running the show because he's a star right here.
Oh, sorry. I mean, the person who won an Emmy is not me.
I think it could be.
I mean,
be
multiple
you.
Emmys.
It could be you.
Baumgars' autoimmune disorders include celiac disease. It's no problem when she avoids foods that contain gluten, like wheat. That's not always easy.
My teacher told me I had a bad behavior problem because I had their school food, and they're not gluten-free food. So that's why my mom came back and told my teachers, I don't have a behavior problem. It's the school food that gets me sick.
For you to know that you had celiac disease, it changed your life. You had all kinds of benefits. So we need to come up with quick, effective ways of diagnosing these conditions that are more common in people with Down syndrome.
Espinosa's teams are also investigating how lifestyle and drugs might rebalance the immune system.
People with Down syndrome are up here, and typical people are down here. Bring people with Down syndrome closer to the normal range.
What they discover may help anyone with afflictions that range from cancer and dementia to pneumonia. Shelley Schlender for VOA News, Denver, Colorado.
You've been listening to International Edition on The Voice of America. On behalf of our entire production team, thank you very much for listening. You'll be able to find in-depth coverage of world events and news 24 hours a day. You can do so by pointing your web browser to voanews.com. Until next time, I'm Steve Miller in Washington. Have a great day.